In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So we have today St. Bartholomew, also called Nathanael in the Gospels. So this is common for apostles or even just characters in the Gospels in general to have two different names. We have Simon Peter, we have St. Jude, Thaddeus, and so on. So we have Bartholomew, also Nathanael. So the Gospel reading today tells about the list of apostles. This is from St. Luke, and it's going through listing who is called, and that's in which we find Bartholomew mentioned. And Bartholomew and Philip are always together. Every time there's Philip, there's Bartholomew mentioned. So there's a connection formed. And so in John 1:47, we have the story of Philip going to Nathanael and calling him to our Lord. So this is where we make the connection. So that's from John chapter 1, 47 and following. And so we'll just look at this account of Nathanael, also Bartholomew, of how that occurred. So the next day, Jesus goes to Galilee, and he finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." And Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael, Bartholomew, answers, says to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip says, "Come and see." And when Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward him, he says of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael asks him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answers, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." So from this account, we learn a few things about Bartholomew, our apostle. He was not gullible, right? For when Philip comes to him, and with this fantastic news, we found the Messiah, Bartholomew says essentially, "Yeah, right, I'll believe it when I see it," right? Anybody can claim to be the Messiah, and many people certainly claim to be the Messiah, so he wants more proof, right? Which is what we all should be like, not believing too quickly. But on the other hand, when our Lord shows something of his prophetic power, and Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" And he says, "Philip called you under a fig tree. I know where it happened." He's like, okay, there's no way anybody could know this, and there's no way anybody could guess this. There's any number of places I could have been when Philip called me, at the marketplace, by the shoreline, who knows where. So then he says, okay, now I believe, right? I've got a sign, I believe. So neither too credible, not gullible on one hand, but then neither stubborn on the other. And that's something of what is meant in the Gospels when it says, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, right? And don't get that confused. I think I said that before, right? We have a problem with that. Gentle as serpents, wise as doves. Doesn't work. So also, let's see, the other place where Nathanael's mentioned in the Gospels, John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. This is after the resurrection. And there was Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And then Simon Peter goes fishing, and they see Christ on the shore, and he says, "Throw down your nets," and they pull it up, and it's the Lord, and Peter jumps in the water, and so on. So Nathanael was one of the ones present when that happened. So it's good to know, right? It's good to know what these disciples did, who the apostles were, what their role was in the Gospels. And then afterwards, what did St. Bartholomew do after being given the Great Commission? So we've heard the stories of him in the Gospel. Afterwards, he goes to India, and he met with success there, preaching. St. Thomas also preached in India as well. But St. Bartholomew ends up in Armenia, and he successfully converts the king of the Armenians. Pretty great accomplishment. But in doing so, he angered the king's brother, who feared political repercussions from the Romans. So the king's brother has St. Bartholomew flayed alive. And that means that his skin was cut into little strips, and then they ripped them off his body. Right, and then you'll see pictured that very frequently. The most common icons of Saint Bartholomew are him getting his getting flayed alive, his skin. There's a sculpture from the Middle Ages it's kind of a, what do you call that, Renaissance thing. It's got all the muscles and sinews in the body, and it's Saint Bartholomew holding his skin. So it's kind of like an anatomical, I don't know, whatever. But that's how St. Bartholomew was martyred, and that's very often portrayed in art. Probably the most famous St. Bartholomew painting is the Sistine Chapel. There's Christ at the Last Judgment, and then underneath him is a guy holding his skin. Right? That's St. Bartholomew. Now, the church shows her both divine faith and razor humor by making St. Bartholomew the patron saint of tanners and leather workers. And also, because books were often made from the tanned skin of animals, also the patron saint of bookbinders. So he's very often shown holding a book, Book of the Gospels, in iconography as well. But this is always what the church does. Like, anytime, who's the saint? She's the patron saint of dentists, because she was getting stoned and a stone knocked her front teeth out. So they make her the patron saint of dentists. Because the church wants to tell us that these things that we would look at as an absolute disaster, complete torture, utter catastrophe in the eyes of the world, God will turn to our glory. That's always why we have that. The icons of the saints are most often the instruments of torture. The pagans and the unbelievers choose these because they think, what's the most humiliating, what's the worst, the most painful kind of death we can imagine, and let's inflict that upon this person to degrade them, to humiliate them, to cause them to despair. But because of our faith, everything becomes the opposite. It becomes the instruments of our glory and our majesty. Even St. Peter himself, right? Well, you see him, one of the ways you know it's St. Peter is like an apostle standing, and there's a rooster right by his feet where the cock crowed for St. Peter. That was his humiliation, right? That sign, there's a sign, he denied our Lord three times, but the church puts it there to show he repented from that, right? And he turned aside and used it as a means of growing closer to our Lord and loving him even more. So that's always that's the divine supernatural faith of the church, turning around those things the world thinks is humiliating, degrading, or whatever it may be. Another interesting account of Saint Bartholomew comes many years after his death. He was buried on an island in southern Italy, and the townspeople every year had a procession in his honor. And one year they were returning with the statue of St. Bartholomew, and it became exceedingly heavy, so that the bearers, they put it down, they rested, then they picked it up again. It was even heavier. They put it down, they rested, and then the third time they could barely lift it, and they set it down again. And then entering back into the city, they were almost there with these tall walls of the city. They collapsed and fell down. So had the procession not been stopped, everybody would have been killed. So St. Bartholomew, intercession for them, for their piety, kept them and preserved their lives. So that's very common for veneration of the saints. That's why we should be piety, right? Piety will save your life. Imagine somebody who's like, I'm not going to go on that procession. They stayed in the town. Whoops, should have gone on the procession. That would be a lesson. So as I mentioned, you know, these saints, their lives are inspirations to us, both their life and their death. And there are things we can learn by meditating upon these saints, believing those signs from God, believing in the truth, right, that the Bibles are true, the scriptures are true, and that God will look out for us. The instruments of our torture, the instruments of our death, that's not the end. God will turn those around to our ultimate benefit. So let us pray to St. Bartholomew for that very grace and that faith. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.